when Derek and Sam came to us, you know, we were hoping for them. You guys can stay here for a second. We were hoping that they would lead us in worship during this interim period. We did not expect them to open up to the whole church like they have. They were part of small groups in Sunday school. They were at Lester and Gina's wedding. They're at all the stuff that we're doing. They've opened their hearts to us, become friends. God bless us with friends. And so thank you guys. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, Sandy. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, thank you, man. Jesus.
No, you're good. So today Donnie and I have got a message to bring to you, and we're going to be reading a passage in John chapter 20, and it starts, I want to try to capture a few emotions that the people in this chapter are going to be feeling. So I want you to think about a time when you've been afraid, maybe like this guy is. Maybe you've been running from somebody or someone. For some in the room, that might have been the police recently. I don't know. Maybe that's an instant what comes to your mind. When I think of running from someone, I can remember jumping off of a roof when I was a little kid to try to avoid my friend's mom because we were on this garage and we weren't supposed to be on top of it. So I ran and jumped off this roof and ran into the woods. But you remember that, like, oh gosh, I'm so afraid someone's going to find me or get to me, and you're on the run and you're scared of someone else. So that's one emotion these people were feeling. Another emotion these people were feeling is they put all their hope in this one person, and they're worried, full of doubt, that he has let them down. And you've probably had those emotions yourself. I really put a lot of faith in that person. Now I'm worried that it was all for nothing. But in the midst of those really negative, I'm really afraid and I'm full of doubt, they also have this hope that maybe something miraculous has happened. It seems impossible, but they've heard a story that Jesus is alive still. They don't know that's true or not. So that's what's inside of them in this moment. They're afraid, they're doubting, but there's this story they don't know if they can really believe it. So that's where we pick up John chapter 20. The first part of that verse says in verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, this is talking about the very first Easter, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. So this is a dark setting potentially for them. They're worried and afraid. And Donnie's going to take us through some of his life story this morning. Tell us about dark period in your life.
Okay, so I was thinking about how to compare this to this situation and how I relied on something and then something was gone. So the only thing that I relied on through my life was me. From the time I was young to now, or I mean to about 3 or 4 years ago, I relied on me and what I had known. And the devil got a hold of me young, and he filled me with pride and ego and greed. And he's, you know what I'm saying? It was just all the pretty things in life that made me search, you know, or to go that direction instead of coming through God. I didn't even believe in God or Jesus or anything else. Through my mistakes and everything, obviously, I made the biggest mistake. I got put in prison. I did about 5 years in prison. And I was 18 when I went in, so I didn't really lose nothing. I really wasn't missing anything. I didn't have any kids, didn't have a girlfriend or wife or anything like that. So it really wasn't all that bad. I got out, and, you know, I had ran into a bunch of people that I was in there with, and they welcomed me with open arms, like, hey, what's up, blah, blah, blah. They were already doing things that I obviously jumped right into and kept living the illegal life and kept doing illegal things. And I kind of put this box around me, like I was a convicted felon. I didn't have any trades. I wasn't really doing anything to better myself, but I was cool with that. I sold drugs. I made money. I got locked up. I sold drugs, made money, got locked up. So that was what that was my identity that I believed was me, and I relied on that to keep going. You know, I would get really addicted to drugs, but when I got locked up, I would sober up. Well, it was when I actually had my babies, my daughters were born, that I had to grow up, and I had this spiritual battle that started within me where I cared about something other than myself, and it was really hard for me to deal with because I didn't know how to be a man. I didn't know how to raise kids. I didn't know how to do anything. I didn't know how to work. I was very unemployable. But I had these two girls that I had to raise. And So I went through the battle, the spiritual battle of I tried to get jobs. I tried to be a man, and I failed continuously over and over and over again. I failed so bad that I actually had to move my kids into my parents' house. And, you know, being 30 years old and moving into your parents' house was enough to just really, really beat your pride down and really beat your ego down. And I was failing, man, and continuously failing. And it got to a point to where my kid's mom was so upset with the way I was treating her and the way things were going that she took my kids and burned out. So here I am. I've failed as a man. I failed as a father. I'm living in my parents' basement. I don't know what to do. I'm completely just lost and clueless, and this is what me. I relied on me, and this is where I got myself. And so I went looking for my kids, and she was in some other house, and I remember walking probably like 30 miles, and I got there, and I got my kids outside, and I took off walking, and I'm going through these thoughts, like I'm walking, and I called her, I'm not bringing them back, and I'm going through these things in my mind, like I'm not going to come back. But where am I going to go? I'm walking with my kids. I don't have any, you know, and I'm just spiritual battle. Like, dude, what are you doing to your kids? Just take them back. Well, anyways, I'm going through this battle, and I get to this yard, and I look up, and there's this rope in this tree, and there's a chair underneath the tree. And, you know what I'm saying, she runs out, grabs the kids, goes inside. I'm just lost, and I scream at the top of my lungs, and because I just don't know what to do, man. And so I just jump up in this chair, and I wrap my neck, and I jumped, so I died. Like 20 seconds later, I was dead. Thank God, you know, and I say thank God now because I understand. But at that point in time, the cops were on their way because I took the kids and went out walking, so they were coming to get me, and they showed up. And I don't know what the actual thing is when you die, when you suffocate and you're in whatever, but they caught it. And they came up to me. I was a different color hanging in the tree, and they pulled me out of the tree, and they brought me back to life. And so, you know, you would think like, oh my gosh, you know, God saved me, right? And that ain't what happened in my mind at all. I went to the hospital, was in the hospital for like 17 days, and I'm in the hospital trying to convince these freaking doctors to let me out because it was just a joke. I was just playing. I need to be out there to control things, to make things happen, because that's what I know how to do. But I was, you know, I was lost, man. And I got out, and nothing had changed. Everything was exactly the same. And I'm like, if there's a God, I can't even die right, dude. You know what I'm saying? I can't live right. I can't die right. What do you want from me, man? Do you just want me to stay here and suffer? And that was the way I looked at God. And, man, that's spiritually dead, man. I gave up. At that point in time, Jake, I was done. I was defeated. Relying on me left me in that room like them disciples, like, what? Yeah. What next?
So in this story and in Donnie's story, Jesus is going to show up. For you, though, first, there was some help with sobriety. So take us through a little bit of that, but then how Jesus showed up.
So this is where the story like really starts to get good to me. I'm defeated, but I still, you know, in my mind, when you're defeated, it's because the devil's got a hold of you, and he's filled you with everything that he knows how to do, and he's got you where he wants you, close to death. So I got all this pride in me, and my kid's mom gets in trouble. She has to take the kids to a transitional place up here in Independence, and she takes my kids, and she comes up here to do it, and I'm like, you ain't taking my kids. Not mine. I'm coming after you. So I followed her up here, and I walked into, she was like going to church on Sunday, and I came into this church, and I'd seen some people that I had never in a million years would have imagined being in a church, you know, and they were here, and they were smiling, and they were, you know, and they're like, dude, you're right where you need to be. And I'm like, I am. Like, I want my kids, you know, like, how do I do that? They're like, okay, I'll tell you what you got to do. And they put me in this recovery house, and, you know, and I'm playing the system. I just want my kids. I could care less about what y'all got going on here. I just want to get my kids. And I found out my kids were here on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. So I would come here on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, and I would be here, and I would see them. And
yeah.
So they were, so I would see my kids for all of about 10 minutes that night, and then they would be in class, and while they were in class, I was in the bathroom doing things I shouldn't have been doing, waiting on them to come out. I'm walking around the halls trying to figure out what to do.
I'm going to pause Donnie here, just in case you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I bring my kids to this church that lets people like Donnie run around. Literally, we had people assigned to Donnie early on. Like, that's a real thing to follow him around. So the kids were safe.
So that.
There you go.
So. Oh, man.
the kids were safe anyway. So anyways, he's just letting y'all know we got good security here at church. If y'all want to bring your kids, don't worry about it. Anyway, so, all right. Anyway, so I'm at this recovery house, and I'm not doing nothing they're talking about. I'm coming to church, I'm not doing nothing they're talking about. I'm just still, you know what I'm saying? I just want my kids, and I don't even know why, because if I get my kids, what am I gonna do with them? You know, I mean, that's where I'm at in my brain. Well, it got to the point where I started getting high, and I had to go report to my PO because I've been on paper since I was 11. So they're giving me dirties, and I'm like, you know what, dude? I don't even know. I know I want my kids. I know that there's a way to get them. I got to be sober. I got to get off drugs. So, okay, can you lock me up? I went into my PO's office December 10, 2015. I said, hey, dude, can you lock me up? Can you put me in a treatment? He's like, man, we've had you in like 6 treatments. You've been 30 and out, 84-day treatments. We've locked you up. It doesn't work, bro. You have to figure this out on your own. You have to grow up, be a man, find a solution, and do it. And I'm like, yeah. All right. He's like, because if we lock you up, you're doing 5 years. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing that. So, so the next day, I went into detox, December 11, 2015. I got, you know, I still had like connections at Maple House and John Wallen and Steve Hankey and a couple other guys. And I'm like, look, can you guys get me into the house? And they got me back into the Maple House. And the first thing they told me is like, look, dude, you don't know how to follow directions. That's why you're here. You need to follow our directions. You need to do what we tell you. And what we're going to tell you to do is let go and let God. Let God control your life. And I'm like, who is God, dude? Fine. He's like, you wake up in the morning, you hit your knees, and you pray to God, and you say, God, I don't know what you want me to do today, but I will do whatever you tell me to do. Lead me in the direction that you want me. And you know what I'm saying? So I wake up in this little 4-man room, and the dude on top falls off his bunk and hits his knees, and he's praying. And then the two other dudes, and they get on their knees, and they're praying, and then they all leave. And I'm like, so, God, whatever you need me to do today, I'll do it. Just put it in front of me, and I will get it done. And that was it. That was my prayer. That was the first prayer that I made ever. I surrendered. And so it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? I don't remember exactly the things that happened, but things just happened at that point. They're like, okay, I ended up here. I ended up with a job, you know, and things just kind of went in line. But I was still in this recovery house, and the people around me, it's not Jesus that I was praying to in the recovery house. It was God. And they told me as an AA, pray to the God of your understanding. So I prayed to a God of my understanding. I didn't understand God. So nothing was spiritually happening inside of me. I just, you know, I wasn't high anymore. And things were just, you're happening. So I wanted more. And what I remembered was when I came to this church, everybody was happy. Everybody had good things to say. Things were happy. People were growing. And it was just amazing to me when I came to a church and seen this for the first time ever. People were positive and they loved life. So I came here and I was like, look, I want to come here on Wednesday night. So I came up to Wednesday night, and it wasn't a normal men's group meeting because it was the one right before Christmas. So they all were together. And I remember it like it was yesterday, man. I walked in. I seen Chris Weeks, Aaron Ford, Rob Ann, and Chad Watson, John Monk, Josh Patterson, John Walden. I mean, all these guys, dude, were surrounding this table, man, and they're all smiling. And I don't know if you know these guys. I mean, but they're awesome, freaking strong men. And if you've seen them on the streets, you would never believe, you know what I'm saying, at that point in my mind, that they were part of God, and that they were smiling, tattooed and everything, and I loved it, dude. And I was like, and they're all talking and smiling and laughing. I'm like, I remember stopping. I was like, I want what you guys have. Can you give me what you guys have? And they did, man. And they stood up and they're like, let's pray. And we circled up and we prayed. And I surrendered my life to Jesus December 23rd, 2015.
Yeah. And, amen.
And I'm keeping the mic here this time because Jake told me to. But it was the greatest thing I ever did in my entire life, man. Yeah. Since then, I have been smiling every freaking day. My kids are in my life every freaking day. Everything about me, I've been employed for over 2 years. I have benefits. I have insurance. I can freaking drive legally. Everything in my life is working. You laugh, but for real, that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
If the police pulled me over, I would be just fine. And this is the joy. And let me tell you how it worked, because Wednesday night after that night, I went to small group and I went and seen these same men. And I was like, dudes, how do I get a license? They're like, well, this is what you do. And I'm saying, well, how do I do it? You just do it. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. So they give you a week. You come back. If your goal ain't completed, they tell you fail. I don't want to fail no more. I'll do it. So I did everything they told me to do, and everything worked perfectly, man. because them men knew exactly what I needed because they'd been there themselves. And if you want that, you need to get plugged into one of these small groups because them people and these people know what you're going through. We've been there. Yeah. We can help you. We can show you which direction to take, and we'll get you there.
Amen. Amen. That's good stuff. So Jesus showed up in Donnie's life.
Jesus showed up.
Show that. Jesus is going to show up here too. So Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." It's kind of an understatement here. The door is locked. Jesus appears miraculously, like the resurrected Jesus. And Donnie's life, it's an understatement to say Jesus showed up, right? When Jesus shows up, the first thing he says to his disciples in his new life is, "Peace be with you." You're here today, and you don't feel like I have a lot of peace, then you're in the right spot. Jesus is the one who came to bring us peace, right? So whatever is going on in your life, Jesus is offering you peace. Let's see what else Jesus is offering. Next verse. After Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and his side. He shows, here's what I went through for you. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. When Donnie and I knew Donnie's story well, we're close, and I knew this passage, and I knew Donnie saw a lot of different people in recovery, but he was drawn to the joy that he saw in the people at Maywood. You're not overjoyed. Jesus can fix that. Jesus shows up to these folks, and he says, "I'm going to give you peace," and that peace led them to joy. If you don't have peace and joy today, Jesus is offering it. It's available if you want it. Okay? We're going to go through a couple more verses, and we're going to get back to Donnie, okay? So a couple more verses. We're going to skip a little bit here, and John is going to tell us why did he write this book in the Bible. But it's the same reason that Jesus showed up in Donnie's life, okay? It says Jesus performed many other signs, and that's true in Donnie's life too. God's done a lot in his life. They're not all recorded in the book of John. Donnie can't tell you about everything God's done in his life, but here's the key. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. It takes belief to get that joy and peace, and then you get a new life, a life that's totally different than the old life. Donnie was coming every week with those folks, being real, and he started living differently. And that's how he has that joy, okay? So Donnie, when we were talking the other day, you talked about this image of feeling like in your old life you were like in a grave in the ground, and there's dirt being piled on top of you. And you got your hand, you're reaching up, and you felt like Jesus reached.
First of all, I want to like say something that belief will get you joy, but obedience will help you keep your joy.
There you go. Amen.
And I felt like Jesus, can we see the picture? Because that hand, that's God's hand, guys. He's got it out to you right now. I mean, he wants you right now. He's like, please, let me take over. And I honestly believe that I was in the ground. I was already dead. I mean, honestly, left to my own mind of what I was doing, I was dead. I was literally not going to be worth, I wasn't worth anything to anybody. I was dead. And he reached down into that dirt, man. He pulled me from the ground. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, thank God. You know, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I can say thank you, Jesus, now because I understand he did it all. You know, I mean, he's risen. He came from the ground today. You know what I'm saying? That's joy. I mean, that's happiness. That's everything. Thank you, Jesus.
So,
like Brian English, thank you, Jesus.
So,
amen.
Amen. So here's how we love things to work in Maywood. Jesus does the hard work. Jesus saves people, does miracles. And here maybe we get to help those people say, hey, God's giving you some gifts. Let's use them for Jesus, okay? So Donnie is leading up a group of folks that'll be here Friday doing a concert. Donnie's got a gift with music that God can shine through him in. Donnie's made some connections with the youth and things like that. So Donnie's going to talk to us a little bit and then sing a little bit, lead us in some songs.
I will.
Yeah,
I will do that.
Tell us about it.
So the song I'm going to sing is God's Not Dead because he ain't dead. You know what I'm saying? He lives in every one of us. So I went, they went from sending me to the kids to sending me to the youth, you know, because that's what they do here. Maybe they put you where they think you need to be, and with my energy, they put me with all the teenagers. And, I mean, what, yeah? I still kind of look like a teenager. But kids, come on, man. Can I get the teenagers up here?
Can I get any teenager that wants to participate, please, to not be shy and come up here with me? Come on, youth. Okay, so these kids did a they did a skit. I'm trying to call them. Okay, there it is. Make sure you turn it up. So these kids did a skit called Everything the other night at their rally, and it was so amazing that I invited them to do it again for another chance, because this is it. I mean, if I would have had the direction that these kids have, if I would have been put in this spot that these kids have been, my life, man, you know what I'm saying, who knows how good my life would have been. So they have it. They've been blessed right now, and we're going to sing this song, and they're going to dance with me, and I hope that they can hear it. It's hard to hear. So I need all you guys to clap and join in, please. You'll hear the music overhead. Do not sit down and not participate in this song. Get up, because God's not dead, y'all. He's alive, right?
Over here.
Oh.
All right, I got to get a drink because I'm thirsty.
Make sure that music is loud. Yes, that's it, loud. It's a lion, right? So if you're going to go to the jungle, you go fight a lion. The lion will keep you safe. You'll be all right. Okay, well, inside of my mind, inside of what I created is a jungle. And there's only one person, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion of all lions, that can help me through this jungle. So naturally, the best thing for me to do, right, would be to go find Jesus and have Jesus guide me up out of this jungle inside of my mind. Amen? Amen? Amen. Why? Because God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's living.
Oh, thank you so much for everything that you do for us, everything that you did for us, and everything that you will continue to do for us. You are our Lord. You are our King. You will help us in this jungle we call life, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Go!
Yeah.
Ahead.
You guys can grab a seat.
Don't let me alone.
So we've got one more thing for our response today. Donnie, when he was talking with me the other day sharing this story, he talked about that December 23rd, or whenever that small group was, right before Christmas. He said, I went from being on the outside at Maywood to when those guys prayed with me, I went on the inside of the circle. And he said, I never really looked back after that point. I had relationships with guys that could really speak into my life. And today we talked about how Donnie found peace, found joy, found a community of folks to really hold him, and Jesus took him to a new life. If you're here today and you're like, I want peace, I want joy, I want real connections with other people, I want a new life, then we're going to give you the chance to do that same thing that Donnie just did, to pray with a small group. And so I've asked all of our small group leaders to be ready. If you guys want to get in position right now, you guys will stand up, and they're going to be kind of underneath each window and two or three of them up in the balcony as well. So if you come currently to a small group at Maywood as well, you would be ready. Don't move yet, but if you'll be ready here in a minute to go to your small group leader. So here's how this is going to work. We're not going to have a normal response time with prayer up front. What I'm going to invite you to do is go to one of these small group leaders or with their small group. And then small group leaders, if I could coach you for just a minute, once you gather up a circle of people, just go around the circle and let each person say, like, are they there because they want peace? Are they there because they want community? Are they there because they want new life? And then spend a little bit of time praying over whatever people share, okay? So that's what we're going to do. Obviously, there's a lot of ways out of this room, too, and there's two aisles. Like, you can escape. We're going to force you, okay? But these are typically, most of our groups are not co-ed. Most of our groups, like, there's men's groups or women's groups. So if you're up for it, like, if you're a guy, go to a guy's group. But honestly, we'll pray whoever shows up, okay? So here in just a second, I will pray to kind of officially close us out. But then I invite all of you, go to a small group leader and pray with them, okay? Say, I want to be a part of what God's doing here at Maywood. There is also an Easter egg hunt right after service, right out there in the lawn, okay? So that'll be at 12:15 here in just a few minutes, or 20 minutes or so. So let me pray, and then I invite you to pray with our small group leaders. Jesus, I thank you that you do miracles, that you conquered death, Jesus. You rose from the dead, and you offer us new life. God, help us to take hold of that new life together. It's in your name we pray. Amen.